You're now listening to the Gratitude Podcast, episode 90. If you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe.
And so we decided to start using those tools in the time that we were dealing with the cancer. One of the tools was gratitude, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. But we were able to really, it's more of a power thing, like, what power do I have over this situation? I've turned over the medical part to the doctors. What do I have? What control, what influence do I have now about my personal experience? I decided that I would make a choice. I was going to get busy living rather than get busy dying. I decided that I was going to focus on positive things, and gratitude was huge, a huge tool to do that. And I decided that I was going to view this as an epic survival adventure rather than I'm being put through this medical torture. And so once I started to change my point of view and I realized I do have the power to change how I look at this, it was a big, big moment in shifting out of being a victim and shifting into being someone who was empowered.
Welcome to the Gratitude Podcast on www.georgeandbenta.com, where you'll hear a new story each week that will inspire more gratitude in your own life. Our mission is to inspire 100,000 people to discover how to feel gratitude and live a happy life through the amazing life stories of our successful guests and their actionable tips. And now, the host of our podcast, Georgian Benta.
Hi, Gratitude Seeker. Welcome to a new episode of the Gratitude Podcast. Today is going to be a special episode. I will have two guests, two amazing guests. One of them is David Peschinger and the other Tamara Green. And they are the co-founders of Loving Meditations and the international best-selling authors of their book, Live Calm with Cancer and Beyond. And I'm really happy to have them on because they have amazing stories and they have a lot to share with us concerning gratitude. They were actually working on a gratitude meditation for their app this week, so it's perfect timing. David is a featured author, fire lieutenant, and Grammy-nominated composer. Tamara is an author, a speaker, and a trainer, dubbed by Elle magazine as the Soul Center psychotherapist and meditation facilitator. But I will let them tell you more about themselves and about their work and what they're doing. I think it's really fascinating.
Well, thank you, Georgian. It's great to share this time and this space with you today. And we especially love that you're focus is gratitude, because it has been so huge in our journey, not only our whole life journey, but in particular, the journey that we're going to talk about more specifically in a little bit. We've been known each other for quite a long time, and our whole marriage has been a journey of ups and downs until we finally were in a place that the time was right, and we were able to really do marriage thing the way that we wanted to. So we're grateful for that every day. And I think gratitude is a big part of our daily practice in terms of how we look at the world and how we view things. It's really a point of view in a way. So this is just so right on. The topic is just something we love.
Absolutely. I think we're doing the marriage thing really well. And gratitude is a huge part. It really is. It's a huge part, as you're going to hear more. It's a huge part of why our marriage just keeps growing and becoming more enriching and more loving. Yeah.
This is beautiful. So. I really love the fact that you're doing this together, and you're such a beautiful couple. I don't know how many of our listeners will also look at the recording, the video recording, but I just wanted to tell you this because It's not just your voices, but you are a really beautiful couple, and I really love like having you.
Well, thank you. You started our day off beautifully.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really are, and I think it's important. It's an important starter for our conversation. So, could you get a little bit into more details about what is gratitude for you personally, for each of you, and if you want, for you as a couple?
Be happy to. So we are certainly grateful for all the amazing time that we've spent together and for our beautiful family and all the gifts that life has given us. And that was all great, but it took a completely different meaning when in 2013, I went for a haircut at the barber, and he noticed something on my neck that was a lump the size of a golf ball, something I didn't realize was there. And once he pointed it out, I had to obviously go to the doctors and see what that was. It started a journey of a bunch of different procedures and diagnosis to ultimately, a couple of weeks later, have us standing in front of a doctor who said these five words that just changed our lives. And that was, you have stage 4 cancer. Wow. We were totally unprepared and totally devastated by that kind of information. So it took a little time to regroup and figure out, okay, how are we going to, you know, work through this? And that began a 4-month journey of treatment, and a very difficult treatment, which involved radiation and chemo, and particularly to the head and neck area. So it really influences how difficult it can be to eat and to swallow. So it really took our marriage and our practice of gratitude to a whole new level. It's really easy to sink down into a place of being a victim and feeling like this was a wrongness, that, you know, your life has been taken away from you and all you want is your life back. And so we kind of, the smoke settled and the dust settled from this incredibly flooring news, we kind of regrouped and started to go back to some of the tools that had worked for us in the past. We'd both done meditation. Tamara does meditation and mindfulness work with her clients. And so we decided to start using those tools in the time that we were dealing with the cancer. One of the tools was gratitude, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. But we were able to really, it's more of a power thing, like, what power do I have over this situation? I've turned over the medical part to the doctors. What do I have? What control, what influence do I have now about my personal experience? I decided that I would make a choice. I was going to get busy living rather than get busy dying. I decided that I was going to focus on positive things, and gratitude was huge, a huge tool to do that. And I decided that I was going to view this as a epic survival adventure rather than I'm being put through this medical torture. And so once I started to change my point of view and I realized I do have the power to change how I look at this, it was a big, big moment in shifting out of being a victim and shifting into being someone who was empowered. And that was very important to us.
Yeah. And for me, you know, I suddenly became the caregiver, you know, having to put my life on hold to be a caregiver to David. And at the same time, 4 days before his diagnosis, our son, our 13-year-old son at the time, he was 13, he was diagnosed with Lyme disease, which is a pretty serious disease too. So suddenly I was the caregiver for my two guys, and our daughter was already in a whole nother state for college, so she wasn't in the house. It was just me and my two guys that I was taking care of. So after, as David said, when the dust settled, it was about 2 weeks of kind of freaking out, you know, worried, not sleeping very well, just, you know, what's happening to my family? Oh my goodness, this 2 major medical illnesses are just kind of suddenly thrown into our lives. But it was one of the tools really was gratitude that got me back into that sense of, you know what, I'm just going to be present. I'm not going to worry about the future. I'm just going to stay present as much as I can in every moment. And gratitude is one of those things that you can, it immediately gets you present. Even if you're thinking about something you're grateful for in your past, it's kind of fascinating how it just brings you right here as if it's happening all over again. And I always have thought of gratitude as a very high vibrational energy that we have complete access to anytime, anywhere. So the moment you say, you know what, I'm going to pull this energy right into me, it just completely floods your system. And that's the tool that I used every single morning after I got through my 2 weeks of like freak out. Every single morning, I started my day with three things that I was grateful for. And it really made a huge difference. It was a kind of a turning point in what the experience we were having.
I can totally relate to this from a small point of view. Of course, I haven't been through what you've been through. But when things aren't very easy in our life, it brings perspective. And this has been my experience that usually we have the tendency to just focus on those things that aren't good, that aren't working. And when we manage to have this habit of being grateful, we at least see the whole picture, and we get to appreciate the things that are still working in our life, right?
Absolutely. There's always something you can be grateful for. It doesn't matter what you're going through.
Yeah. Exactly. And one more thing that I want to point out, and for me this is really beautiful. David, you look amazing. Like, you don't look like someone that has been through such an experience. I wouldn't have thought that you've been through that. And I'm really curious, how did you manage to do it?
Well, thank you. It's a great question. I have to say that part of it is a lifelong sort of baseline practice of exercise and pretty good nutrition, and certainly spiritual practice. That helped quite a bit. And the kind of treatment that I had typically, or very often, people are hospitalized because they're unable to eat and they lose so much weight, and their body just deteriorates so badly that they have to have interventions to get through. I was fortunate that I never had to do that. I had the best caregiver in the world and lots of love, but also I think I get it. Again, I made a choice. I'm a person who's run my whole life, always been a runner. I couldn't run. I chose to at least get out and walk. And I couldn't lift weights at the gym anymore, so I chose to do some body movements like yoga. And so it was a series of choices that kept my body moving. And certainly we did a couple of things where I could still get some decent nutrition that I didn't have to actually eat. And so, yeah, it was a lot of past practices, but also we brought practices into the cancer journey, not the least of which was some mindfulness and meditation tools that were very, very helpful.
Mm-hmm. I love it. It's something important that I think we should see. I'm talking about me and our listeners. The fact that you were able to keep in shape, to keep in good shape, thanks to things that you did consistently. And that's why I always say that gratitude is most powerful when we do it consistently. And I urge my listeners all the time to make sure they make a habit out of it, even if it's not a big one. It's just so helpful, and it makes such a big difference.
Yeah. You're right on with that. And it can be super easy. I typically, when I drive to the firehouse where I work about 8 days a month, on my drive, I've got a lot of downtime, and that's the perfect time for me to do some gratitude. And I'll just go through a list that I've kind of built over the years of the things that I'm, you know, basically thanking the universe for, or God or angels or whoever we think is, you know, working behind the scenes to make all this great stuff happen. I'll just go through my list on my drive and thank them. And it's perfect use of time that otherwise, you know, you'd be listening to the radio or, you know, staring out the window. So yeah, it's a great tool that I've used.
I love it. It's a great way of using time that in which you wouldn't really do much. And it really puts you in a really good state for what's about to come. And one of the, I don't know if you know this, I created a 2D animation about gratitude. And one of the things that, so one of the parts of the animation is with someone driving to work and listening to the podcast and thinking of their colleagues at work and how much they appreciate them and things of this nature. And I think it correlates very beautifully.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Where do we get to see this animation?
you can see it on Facebook on the page, on the Gratitude Podcast page. It's pinned there at the top. It's really entertaining and helpful as well, in my opinion. So I'm really curious if you want to share with us when and how did you first discover gratitude, like really feeling it and really experiencing it, and not just the idea, the concept, but actually feeling it?
Sure, I'll answer that one. Let's see. Boy, I don't know how many years ago it was, a number of years ago, at least 12, maybe even 15 years ago. Every morning I decided that I needed to make my spiritual practice a priority. So every morning I got up really early, you know, anywhere between 4:35 a.m. and I would go into what I call my, it's the size of a, it used to be a closet and I turned it into my little meditation room in the house. And I would go there every morning and I would do anything from light a candle and just stare at it for an hour, or read prayers or recite prayers, to reading passages out of a book that really inspired me. But it was during that time that I learned more, you know, on this book that I was reading, learned more about the actual energy of gratitude, that there's different things that we don't even necessarily realize. There's a different, you know, energy, a very high vibrational energy. So freedom, the energy of freedom is one kind of energy vibration. Gratitude's another one. And so it really opened my eyes. Wow, you know, that's so cool. And then how easy it is to just pull it in by literally saying, I'm now pulling it in, and boom. There's no effort to it. It's literally happening the moment you make that decision to just pull it into your whole system or your whole situation, your body, whatever. So it just was a real eye-opener for me. I know that I've, you know, I'm all my life I've been a pretty upbeat, you know, I see everything as the glass half full kind of person. So I think I've experienced quite a bit of gratitude in my life, but I never really kind of thought of it in that way until I read this particular book.
That's very interesting. I'm actually on the opposite of you from this point of view. My tendency is rather pessimistic, and I needed to do something in order for me to see the full part of the glass, you know. And it's always very interesting to meet other people that are different from this point of view, and how they see and experience gratitude. It's really interesting. But if you could go back in time, like, I don't know, maybe 10 years or 20 years ago, what would you tell your younger self about gratitude?
I think myself back then didn't experience or embrace gratitude like I do now. I don't think I was really looking at things and appreciating them in that way. So I would go back and tell my younger self that it is a huge shifting mechanism to look at things and be grateful, to be grateful not only to people and things outside of you, but be grateful for your body. I know I appreciated the fact that I was able to run marathons and I was able to do, you know, obstacle courses or do athletic events, but I really didn't appreciate my body and thank my body for all it did. And that's just one thing, one example of what the body does that's obvious. But the body's doing so much stuff that we don't see, we're not aware of. Just the fact that your heart beats without any input or assistance or any intelligence from us, it just does its thing. And faithfully for, you know, however many years we're on this earth, that our lungs breathe, that all our organs are performing these miraculous processes that we don't really have to give much attention to. And we seldom think to appreciate our body and thank it for all it does. So I'd say to my younger self, you know, appreciate your body, especially in this time and place where it's young enough to run marathons and to be resilient and give it the credit that it's due.
I can really relate to that. And it's always an interesting experience for me. For instance, when I get sick, like with the flu or something, when I'm sick and I realize how many things I'm actually able to do when I'm healthy, and I'm thinking, oh my God, if only I would be healthy, I would do so many things, and I would taste so many foods, and I would smell so many beautiful fragrances and things of that nature. Because usually when I'm sick, I don't have any kind of taste and smell. And after that, it's really interesting how much I appreciate all of these things and how amazing it feels. And to just the smell of fresh air, for instance, is like, oh my God, I miss this so much. And we sometimes take these simple things for granted. And I'm sure that you really know how it is, and you can really be an inspiration for us from this point of view. But let us know a little bit more about your work and how it came to be.
Okay, so for about 7 years prior to David being diagnosed with cancer, we had been creating guided meditations together for my psychotherapy and coaching clients, and had a YouTube following, and people loved it. At the tail end of the cancer experience, we were in, David was getting he was at a follow-up visit with his oncologist. And his oncologist basically said the same thing that you did. You know, you really did quite well for the kind of cancer and difficult treatment that you had. You must have been doing something. What were you doing? So David shared, you know, that we both, as patient and caregiver, were doing mindfulness and meditation and gratitude and stuff like that. And he says, well, I want that for all of my patients. They need this too, because it's amazing the outcome that you had. Well, so David and I looked at each other in that room, and light bulbs are going off. You know, we've been creating these mindfulness programs already for 7 years together. He's a Grammy nominated composer. His music is stunning. It's gorgeous. You know, I've been, you know, creating guided meditations during this time. And so we've gone through the experience. We've created meditations. Why not? Let's just go ahead and use this as our, you know, the gift of cancer. This is what this experience gave us, is this gift to be able to pay it forward to other people going through a very life-challenging experience like cancer or any other life challenge. So we created our Loving Meditations app that's available on an Apple product, an iOS product, or any other, because we have several different versions of the app. And it's going into cancer infusion centers and in hospitals. And it's going into, I'll let David talk about the waiting room TV. That's pretty, pretty exciting too. But we're very, very excited about the feedback that we're getting. The app is just all over the world now. And then our book as well, you know, Live Calm with Cancer and Beyond. It's just so, so exciting to be, we're so grateful to be able to do this, to be a contribution to other people going through a big life challenge like we did.
I love this story. And I think it's really interesting how these kinds of experiences can change us and can inspire us to do amazing things like you're doing. And I know about one case of cancer going into remission from a person. I don't remember exactly all the details, but it's very related to our conversation. That person decided that, okay, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die laughing. And they started, and she or he started watching all kinds of comedy movies and making sure that they laughed a lot and enjoyed their moments. And in a few weeks or months or so, when that person went to see the doctor and see how it was going, there was no cancer.
Yeah.
And I think it's a very important part of treating any kind of sickness, any kind of illness, the emotional part, the part that's on the inside. And I'm not talking about the organs, but on our inside, in our head, in our heart. Because from my knowledge, many of the illnesses that we suffer from are actually quite related to the emotional side. And I think doing something that's helpful on this part as well is pretty incredible. And I'm sure that you have experiences of this kind as well. So if you want to share, I would love to hear them.
Sure. Well, like you're saying, If there's a trauma involved with serious illness, that could even be traumatic to be ill with the flu. But let's say any serious illness. And again, if we choose to hand off the medical part to the doctors, we still want to feel like we're a participant in that journey. We want to feel like we do have some power and influence in our own experience of that. And that's where focusing more on the positive by using gratitude can be huge. I would say personal story is I did have to have surgery to remove some remaining tumor, and it's pretty involved, complicated surgery. So as I was walking to the operating room, knowing that I was going to be, you know, unconscious and this medical team was going to be totally responsible for the outcome, I couldn't really change that. But what I could do was use the Ho'oponopono mantra almost to just shift into a place of being grateful to them, to me, thanking them, also forgiving myself for creating whatever I created, and also using the love piece by, at least I put myself in a place where I felt like I was doing something really positive in that walk to the operating room. And when I got ready to be sedated, I think I was in a very calm and peaceful place and really felt like, you know, very optimistic about the outcome.
Yeah, so what the Ho'oponopono practices, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. And then you just keep repeating that. It's amazing what releases when you do.
Yeah, I know about it and I've used it as well. And I can tell and I from my own experience that it is very impactful. And there's a part that I think is very important that you mentioned, David. The fact that there is this part that you entrust the doctors with, but there is another part of the healing process that has to do with you and where you have the power. And there are times when, so I don't know from my own experience, but I know that there are times when people, if they don't have a positive attitude about that surgery or something related to this, like their treatment, it's really hard for that treatment or for that surgery to actually work and to do the thing that it intended to do. And I think this is an important part that we can contribute to actually healing ourselves. And it's what's beautiful about this is that it's actually helpful in healing emotions as well and healing things that go deeper than the physical. And I think this is pretty amazing. So yeah, this is amazing work that you're doing, and I really love it. So can you tell us a little bit about how meditations usually go?
How meditations go? You mean like in our app?
Yeah, so how do people use the app? How do people experience the meditations?
Sure. When I was in the infusion center receiving chemo, I would just put on my earbuds and listen to audio or watch a video. So what we did was the app is really basically a way of delivering our meditations, which are video and audio and Tamara's voice guiding you, which basically put on the earbuds and find the meditation that you want and press play. We have a feature called the advisor where it asks a series of questions. You can just swipe yes or no, and that will direct you to a meditation if you're feeling distressed and lonely or in pain or discomfort, those kinds of questions. It will direct you to a meditation, or we have them grouped by topic. So we have some for breath work and some for creating calm and some for recharging for caregivers. So it's broken down like that, and it's also directed towards patients and caregivers. So there's a lot of crossover in the meditations, but there are some specifically for the caregiver and some for the patient. And as Tamara said, it's on the App Store, and it's also, we have a web app version that works on any device.
It's called Loving Meditations.
Awesome. I really love this part, and I wanted to ask you about this. The fact that there are meditations for the caregiver as well, because I think it's such an important part of healing as well to have someone that's positive and that's doing something to rebalance, because I'm sure it's really not an easy journey. And having a tool, having something to help us in this situation is really valuable. And I love this part, and I love the fact that you've thought about this as well. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's the caregiver is also going through a pretty big life challenge as well. So
yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, so whether you're a patient or a caregiver, you can actually use mindfulness and meditation to turn it into a real time of self-discovery. So, or self-care, or even self-love. So
That's wonderful.
That's what we're all about. You know, keep pointing people in that direction.
I love it. And what are the plans for the future for the app? You've mentioned it. You mentioned that it already is in some hospitals, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we are talking to other people. Yesterday, I went to the dentist to get my teeth cleaned, and the way our dentist has his office set up or his exam room, there's a TV kind of like right over your head. And typically they put on the news or they put on a talk show or something. And I find that to be really stressful. If I'm going to have dental work done, I'd like to be relaxed. And we have this other product called Loving Meditations TV, which is designed for waiting rooms, for the doctor's waiting room. So people are getting calm instead of stressed waiting for an MRI or for an exam or for talking to their doctor. But it's also perfect if you're in the dentist chair and getting your teeth worked on. So that's one of our new areas that we're going to be moving into, is trying to calm people down during the dentist visit.
That's wonderful. I can actually tell you an experience of my own regarding this. So I have been to a place where they had this calming meditation, calming music, meditational type of music. And I've been to another place where they have had like really bouncy music and things of this nature. And if I am to compare, it definitely made me feel much more at ease in the first situation and much more relaxed, knowing that there is going to be a procedure or something done on me. And I'm usually calm as a person and I'm really collected. But having that atmosphere was even more helpful. And comparing that with the news and things of this nature, then that's a whole nother level.
So yeah, in addition to the music piece, we have calming images. Usually it's nature, but we have some, we do things with fractals that are very fascinating geometric shapes. And then we have what we call mindful messages, which are text that come on the screen that could be a quote or it could be an interesting fact about how amazing the human body is or how amazing the universe is. So they can just listen to the music if that's what they like, or they can watch the nature images, or they can watch everything, including the mindful messaging. So it's designed to kind of work for everybody, depending on what their, you know, how much attention they want to pay to it.
Yeah, this is wonderful. So getting back a little bit to gratitude, do you have people in your life that you're really, really grateful for that have had or are having a really profound impact in your life and you would like to mention them?
My husband, David. I'm so grateful for him. We have just the most amazing relationship, and I just pinch myself every day that everything that we go through just completely enriches my life, even the big challenges. So I'm so grateful for you, honey.
And as am I grateful to Tamara, and for Tamara. It's difficult to put into words what it was like to go through this cancer experience and have someone, your life partner, step up and just be the embodiment of love and compassion and being present. It just took our marriage to a whole different level that we never would have probably reached had we not gone through that together. But it's when you're the person that's going through the illness, to have someone, whether it's a friend or a family member or a coworker, step up and just do something that's above and beyond is so moving and so humbling that I think we need to make sure that we do appreciate them internally, but also acknowledge them externally for their amazing contributions.
This is beautiful. And I'm really happy that you are generous enough to take this love, this care forward and sharing it with the world and making it available for other people and offering support for them. And by the way, where can our audience find you? Where can our audience see your work?
Sure. Our main website is lovingmeditations.com. And specifically for the app, it's called calmcancerstress.com. And specifically for the book, it's called livecalmwithcancer.com.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being here, for sharing your story, for sharing your love and your appreciation with us, and for sharing the things that you're doing for other people that have, that are in the situations that you are in, and helping them reach your point and being happy and calm and going through those challenges with another perspective.
Thank you, George. And it's been really wonderful.
Yes, thanks so much. We really enjoy being here.
Thank you for listening to our weekly podcast. Help us reach our goal of inspiring 100,000 people by sharing this podcast with your loved ones, with your Facebook friends. And if you loved this episode, please write a review on iTunes.